Get Talent Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Get Talent Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cross, and I'm joined by my co-host, colleague, cohort, and co-defendant, Danny Herskowitz here. How are you doing, Danny?
Good, Ben. How are you?
Good, man. We're having a little fun here. This is great. You know, the holiday's over. Back to work.
Exactly. You know? Confusing what day it is, right?
Yeah, I have no idea. Is it Monday? Is it Thursday? Whatever. Danny, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about something called employer value proposition.
That is some big words. What is the difference between an employer value proposition and an employer brand?
Employer brand is the message that you send to the market about who you are, what makes you special. And it's kind of a, we talked last week about marketing, right? Your employee value proposition is really more around things that you might not necessarily go out and market, but these are like core values that your organization has, and you know, they can be demonstrated through different things.
I like this a lot because this makes a lot of sense. Like a brand, like in a marketing standpoint, like a, from a marketing standpoint, is like a brand is like kind of a an image you have in the marketplace that attracts people. And what you're saying is employee value prop is what salespeople use to go and sell something.
Yes, exactly.
Right? And so it's the difference between sales and marketing. So an employer brand is marketing. An employer value proposition is sales. Either way, though, the end goal is to get people to work at your company. Isn't that right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what you want anyway. So it really doesn't matter what you call it, right?
So when your employer, am I right to say when your employer brand's not working and you got to get aggressive and you got to go to the market and you got to like go convince people and go sell people on working, that's when it's time to start dusting off the employer value proposition?
Yeah, exactly. You use that to then get the message out.
Can you define it for us though, please? Can you please define it using a sentence, country of origin, value proposition?
So Sherm article 2017 defines employer value proposition as basically something that it provides the current and future employees with clear reasons to join or stay at the company.
Clear reasons to join or stay at the company. Okay.
Either the one that they're interviewing for or the company that they're currently employed by.
When I hear that, I think about, you know, obviously I think about our company and stuff and what I would say the value props are. And when I hear this also, I think this is an opportunity for you to kind of shape the way people look at your company. Because like, okay, you could be a small company, you could be a big company, you could be a new company, you could be in a, you know, a mature company. Whatever your company is, there's a way for you to craft a value proposition around that for the employee. And oh, by the way, by being super clear about that, you're going to attract the kind of people who are looking for what you are as a company.
Yeah.
And I gotta believe that that's gonna make those candidates more successful. All right, I got a question. Why are we even talking about this?
We're talking about this because it's something that we talk about a lot, you know, in our conversations when we have candidates interviewing with our clients. A lot of times we find that the companies that we hire for are amazing companies. They've got great products, right? We talk about product market fit. They have that. Great brand, even.
But great culture.
Great culture. Exactly. But you said something to me the other day about it's very important for a client to be able to articulate what that is. What is their EVP? So a lot of people, maybe they internally might know it, but they've never really said it out loud and explained that in a way that people really understand and resonate with it.
Yeah, you might know it, but if you can't say it, you can't speak it, you can't articulate it, and people can't really, you know, grab onto it, you know, it's like, it may not work. It's not going to be effective, right? I mean, it's like having great product, but not being able to sell it. Danny, you got some other stats. You did some research. This is why I love doing a podcast with Danny, because I just do this stuff off the cuff. And Danny like does the research, does the hard work, comes in prepared. Danny, you got some other stats for us.
Yeah, I do. Well, I wish I can do what you do. I didn't have to.
Hey, teamwork makes the dream work. You know, I wish I could do what you do. So here we go.
Yeah. So there was a study done by Gartner. It was a survey rather. And it said that 65% of candidates report drop out of the hiring process due to an unattractive employer value proposition.
So they actually get into the process. Mm-hmm. They start the interview process or whatever.
Yeah.
And at some point they drop out and they say, hey, same for me.
Yeah. What have been some of your experiences, you know, recruiting and kind of seeing this and you know, I guess. From
well, the flip side of this is red flags, right? Yeah. So a lot of people call it as red flags, right? And so when you start interviewing a place and you start getting these red flags, right? And so you can call it unattractive EVP, which I think is like talent jargon, right?
Right.
I mean, I think a candidate would say,
yeah,
hey, saw some red flags. Hey, that's what we got.
Right.
Conversations. Saw
right.
Some red flags. I'm out. I think some of these might be unclear strategy. What does this company really do? Who are they at their core? Where are they going? Do they understand these the answers to these questions? The other one I would say are just the way that they handle the hiring process, right?
Yeah.
Might be a red flag, because if they are disorganized and don't have a high degree of urgency and don't know what they want and don't recognize great talent when they're interviewing it. So the interview is kind of like the dance before you get married, right?
Right.
And the way you dance is kind of the way, you know, you move in other ways. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you kind of like try it out, right? And you're like, well, I don't know. They don't dance so hot, you know?
Right.
So I think there's some of that that goes on. I think you start to talk to people in the organization and you start to maybe uncover some personalities, right? Or some dynamics there.
Yeah.
So these are all like kind of signify things to me that might be indicative of a unattractive employer value proposition. But they can all be flipped around and be made into strengths too, if you understand kind of what to look for. And if we're really, really willing to be honest with ourselves, receive the feedback from candidates that pull out of the process, receive the feedback from our recruitment team, do an honest assessment and make those corrections.
Totally.
Otherwise, we're going to have this massive hole in our talent funnel, and we're going to keep losing. And guess what? You don't lose the worst candidates. You lose the best candidates. So, like, yeah, be careful there, you know?
Yeah, they always, you know, the classic thing they say is, like, when you interview, the employer is interviewing you just as much as you're interviewing them. It was another stat by Gartner as well. And basically, they found that a strong EVP increases commitments from new hires by about 30%.
30%. Strong EVP increases commitments from new hires by 30%. What does that mean to you, Danny?
That means that there's just a big bump in your chances of really securing that candidate by having the ability to communicate that to the candidate. So just being really strong on that, knowing that, is going to just increase your chances of landing that amazing talent.
Yeah, and I think it's really important too, as people go through the process and they talk to different stakeholders in the organization, that everybody is clear on why they work at the company and why this person should work. And I think it's really important also that when you're interviewing top talent, you're not assuming that they should be selling you on the job. Okay. I mean, I think that this is a common misconception. We believe, and I even hear people say, oh, you know, the talent and the employee is losing the power in the dynamic here between employer and employee. No, there's still a severely low unemployment rate. There is still a lot of talent. Yes, I know there's been a lot of layoffs in the tech sector, but there's still a ton of jobs open, especially in non-technical roles, and not enough candidates to fill them. So if you as an employer are not out there selling your EVP at every conversation, at every interaction with prospective candidates, whether they're in the process or you're just at a conference or something, and you need to be talking about these things all the time. I mean, these are your talking points and you need to be drilling these things home. And everybody in your company, just like your, you know, mission statement, you know, just like your values, they need to have these and understand why they're there. Now, you can't tell people like necessarily what to think and why to feel a certain type of way about working at a company. But it's usually a very good sign if people are consistently like, these are the reasons why I work here.
Why do you think it's been more balanced where, you know, there's that equal exchange between the employer and employee, whereas, you know, before the employer typically did have a little bit more power and leverage in that relationship and during the interviews?
I think that there used to be more great candidates for each job. There also, employees didn't have as many tools to find jobs.
Right.
I mean, I found my first job in 2007. I mean, this isn't even the 90s. I'm talking about 2006. I found it in a newspaper. And nowadays, like, you have, like, these easy apply buttons, you know, on LinkedIn and all these job boards, whatever. And so people are just like easy applying with the same resume. So they can apply to like 100 jobs a day. So I think that the competition to find those great candidates and to cut through the noise and to really resonate with people, I think it's just really hard. So I think that employees and candidates have a lot of options. It's the reason why we see wages increasing for, you know, in a significant way for the first time in decades.
What about unlimited PTO? You know, we do that here, you know.
That's a really big thing, right? And so back in the days of the newspaper, we got 2 weeks. Two weeks is pretty standard.
Right.
Now you throw 2 weeks at somebody and they think that you're like a barbarian.
Right.
They're like, what, do you live in a cave somewhere? Like, you got to be offering crazy more PTO, crazy more benefits. And I think all that's the mark of the fact that it is a candidate-driven market still. Yes, it's changing a little bit, but it's still highly candidate-driven.
It is, especially for the right candidates and the talent that we're looking to place for our clients.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And that's another point, right? It's very much a feast or famine kind of situation, right? The information age has made job seeking a lot like the dating market. I've been reading articles about this, right? And, you know, I got friends and stuff that are single out there and they're trying to hit these, you know, internet sites to try to meet people. They're like, yo, it's brutal out there. It's brutal. The top 10% of people are killing it. The other 90% are starving.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in the talent pool too, right? Yeah, so these top 10% candidates, these A players, they're getting 5, 6, I mean, offers. We have one candidate right now. We talked to him 2 weeks ago. We put him on 4 job interviews in the last 2 weeks in a slow, quote unquote, slow market right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's an A player. Everybody wants to talk to him. He's going to have multiple offers. And whoever makes that offer first and communicates their EVP in a strong way is going to win. All right, so I got a stat for you. You're not the only guy that does research. I'm just kidding. I just steal Danny's research. So a survey conducted by Edelman, 60% of job seekers are looking for a company that aligns with their corporate values, beliefs, and behaviors. So how can companies communicate their EVP, their employer value proposition? How do they do that, Danny? What's the practical way of doing it?
There's five different things here that we can talk about. The first step is clearly defining your EVP.
So clear definition. To me, that means like you should be able to like write it down, state it from memory. Like you need to, and it doesn't have to be like manufactured. Like this can be like, this is real, like real to you. So it shouldn't be hard because it's authentic. But just being able to like practice telling that story. Tell people why you work at a place.
Exactly. That's probably the most important thing. And then the second thing, number two, is understanding and addressing the candidate's motivations and career aspirations and being able to speak to that during the interview.
So first you have to define it for yourself. And then second, you have to apply it to what the other person's trying to accomplish in their life.
Yes.
This is classic sales. This is classic sales because the first step is like we always say features and benefits of the product. But then if you just throw features and benefits to somebody, but you don't actually relate it to what they're trying to accomplish. So for instance, I would say like, here you go. Our company is amazing because it offers opportunities for advancement.
Right.
I know that's important to you because it's your prior company. That's not something you had.
Right.
I think you'd really flourish here. That's a strong statement.
It is a strong statement. It's funny. Like the one thing I noticed also, they're not talking about money in any of these. You know, like that percentage, right? 60% of job seekers. There's nothing about money there. So that's interesting too. Number three, using storytelling to paint the picture of what their EVP looks like. And I know we talked about like communicating that, but one thing I think that's really powerful, like, you know, they always talk about is telling stories, right? And I think that's what you mean by articulating that. It's telling the story so they can see it in their mind. Number four is you use every touch point you have with your candidate as an opportunity to showcase your EVP.
I like what you said here with two things in here that I like. One, you're staying on your talking points each time you talk to them.
Yeah.
Second is, you didn't say tell, you said show. And I think that's really interesting because it's not just about talking about something. It's about showing, demonstrating.
And then that's actually perfectly segued into our next point, which is the last one, fifth point, which is being authentic, genuine, and passionate about your EVP when telling that story to candidates.
Authentic, genuine, and passionate. I think passion's a word that's sometimes overused. But I like to use the word purpose. Like I get real passionate when things are in my purpose.
Yeah.
I feel like
it's stronger, right? It's a stronger word.
Yeah. I like the word trust too. Like if I really believe or, you know, I have faith in something, then I think I speak with a lot more conviction about it. Final thoughts. here, Danny, on the employer value proposition?
Yeah, I think companies, you know, don't take it for granted. You know, we talk about this, right? We have different podcasts of hiring quickly, of, you know, making sure that you have a smooth process, but don't take it for granted that people are going to understand what you offer to them just because you might feel that, right? So I would...
You think it's obvious, right? Yeah.
Right. You think it's obvious, right? I'm so amazing. Our company is great. And that might be true, but you know, the biggest thing is, this is if you were applying for a job, you need to write it out. You need to have your resume, your points. And like you said, don't be, you know, it doesn't have to be scripted, but just know that, internalize it and be authentic in how you communicate that. And people will see it. And it's a lot easier than we think, you know, to do it.
I love it. I love it. I love what you said there about just like a candidate would come in with a resume or CV or bullet points of their career.
Yeah.
As a hiring manager, or a person is interviewing someone, you should come in with a few bullet points about why you work there,
yeah,
why that's a company that they want.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I love it. This is a lot of fun, Danny. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for all the research. It was phenomenal.
No, thank you.
Always raising the bar. Please subscribe and give us a review. We would so appreciate it. And if there's another talent topic that you wanted to talk about, let us know. Hit that like button. Thanks for getting involved. Danny, should we do it next time?
Let's do it. Yeah.
All right. See y'all next time. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Get Talent Podcast.